There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave counsel. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along on this Tuesday. Live local talk over the next hour. And remember, you didn't catch like last hour or something I did earlier in the week or last week, always go to the podcast page at fmtalk1065.com. They're all listed for you there. In addition, you can, better yet, subscribe at iTunes or Stitcher, or if you get your music on Spotify, our podcasts are there as well. TuneIn Radio, lots of places to get them. Subscribe and give us whatever the emoji is there, thumbs up, stars, you know, whatever rating or ranking, we sure appreciate it. All right, we continue with our Get to Know the Candidate series here as we lead into Thursday night's AL1 Republican Congressional Debate. This is a name that is going to be familiar to many folks, especially folks in 101. Representative Chris Pringle joining us now on the show. Thanks for being here.
Great to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Good to have you back in. For those folks that, are new to the name, Chris Pringle, introduce yourself to them.
Well, Chris Pringle, I grew up here in the 1st Congressional District in Mobile, splitting my time between Mobile and my family's farm in Washington County. And that's where my son and I like to go on the weekends.
Right.
I've taught him to drive the same tractor, my grandfather's tractor, I learned to drive as a kid. But, yeah, I served in the Alabama House of Representatives from 94 to 02, and I left in 02, and I spent the next 12 years concentrating on raising my son and growing my business. I'm a licensed home builder, a licensed general contractor, and a realtor at Southern Timberlands. So I probably have the funnest job in the world outside the legislature. I sell and build hunting camps.
I'm jealous. I've told you that before. I've been jealous of that.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. But in 2014, after 12 years of being out of public life, my old seat came open, and I ran because I wanted to go back to Montgomery now that we're in the supermajority, and go to work with the Republicans in charge. Because when I was there first,
Let's talk about it. Yeah, people forget, if you haven't been watching this long, people think, oh, what's the whole reality is a Republican supermajority. That was not always the story.
No, and when I was first there, they could rewrite the entire Constitution of the state of Alabama and pass it without a single Republican vote. And, of course, I knew that because my very first term, I rose to the level of minority leader of the Alabama House. So I'm baptized. I'm going toe-to-toe with blocking Democrat agendas.
Right.
I know what it takes. I've done it before.
And then you came back, and the supermajority is in place, but it's a whole nother world. Not everybody is in lockstep, even with the Republican supermajority within the Republicans.
Leading the Republicans is like herding cats. You have a lot of very diverse opinions, very well thought out opinions, but they are different opinions, and it's not easy to build a consensus sometimes in the caucus. But we work very hard to work with each other.
Well, okay, so you have some experience doing that. Now you're applying for the job here from We the People of AL1 to go do that in Washington.
Exactly. You know, when Bradley made the decision to give up his seat to run for the Senate, I looked at my life. I'm a single dad. And my son is 17 years old. I love him very much. Plays football at McGill. Go Jackets.
All right, go Jackets, yes.
When I go to Washington and take the oath of office, very soon afterwards, he'll graduate from high school and go to college. And
right.
I'll be an empty nester. I tell everybody I don't have a wife, a dog, or a cat. If I leave at 5 in the morning, I just change the thermostat and go get on the airplane and fly to Washington.
And it's interesting that in Washington, making, at least from my perspective, wanted to get yours, making those relationships, you talk about herding cats within the Republicans at Goat Hill. I mean, if you're coming from AL1, you got to make some deals to benefit AL1.
You know, the legislative process is like a marriage. You know, you don't get 100% of what you want. You have to learn to negotiate and give and take. Or, you know, and I'm a realtor. You know?
Yeah.
In real estate deals, we have to kind of give and take, and that's the process. You don't give up on your core values,
right?
But you have to learn to negotiate around the edges in order to make a, you know, a bill pass or a deal work. And that's, and it's all based on relationships. It's that ability to sit down with other people from different parts of the state or different parts of the country in Congress and work something out where we can move the ball forward and get a nice conservative Republican agenda advanced.
Yeah, I started thinking about AL1 in the House compared to all the other districts, but heck, AL1 in comparison to the other six districts in the state of, and we'll get to that in a little bit, in the state of Alabama. You know, I know I'm the ultimate homer. I love my district. I love my home. AL1 is a very different thing than 3 or 7 or 2. I mean, we're pretty diverse in what it makes us tick here.
Oh, you know, listen, I mean, you know, all the Pawnee Woods, you know, I laughingly tell everybody I'm the only candidate in this race that knows the difference between a longleaf and a loblolly pine tree. But, you know, we have the Pawnee Woods, then we have all the agricultural that goes on around here, then we have, of course, we have Airbus.
You got Airbus, that's
yeah,
what I'm
we
saying.
We got Airbus and Austin,
yeah.
And then we have, you know, our marine fisheries, which is so important to us, and then we have the Gulf Coast. You know, the beaches bring so much revenue to the state of Alabama, and it's such a mecca for tourism. It's an extremely diverse district, and it's a wonderful district to travel. It's a lot of fun.
It's a neat place. It's home for us, and but yeah, I think about that. I mean, I want to compare it against the bigger backdrop of Washington, but also it's a different thing. I think there are other districts of the state have more in common with each other than we do maybe with them. Although AL1 and 5 seem to have some similarities, but you know what I mean?
Well, Alabama's a very diverse state. I mean, go to Huntsville. You know, that district, there are more engineers per capita in Huntsville than in any city in the nation.
Yeah.
And it's a growing, very prospering. It's a very different, but...
That's why I said AL1 and 5 have a lot going on.
But we have Mobile Bay.
That's right. That is true. Tennessee River is pretty as it is. It's not the bay. It's not the Gulf. Let's see for a second, and I want to go back to talking about your campaign and how people can get more information. But let's talk for a second as we discuss the districts in the state of Alabama. This is something, I mean, I've been talking about this, ringing this bell a couple years now, and now here we are looking at this census for 2020. What, in your estimation, you study this stuff, you're in this. How are we going to lose a district?
There's a very high probability. We only had a 72% return on the response rate on the last census. If we can get it to 80%, there's a chance we might be able to retain the 7th congressional district. Other than that, we will be cut to 6.
I mean, and I keep saying this, I feel like just reminding folks, y'all, we could lose a district in the state. Explain to people what that means for us in Washington.
That means one of our good Republican districts is going to become Democratic. That means one of our electoral college votes will probably become Democratic. But it's also hundreds of millions of dollars in federal funding.
For everybody, for all Alabamians.
It goes over, because the federal fund is based on population of the state, and we don't respond and get an accurate count, then they start cutting the amount of money they send us.
So your argument with that 72% response rate is the people are still here, they're just not responding?
Yeah, they won't answer the questions. They won't turn in their census forms.
So it is. See, I never heard it put like that. There's really a clerical issue. It's an issue of people filling out the census form and turning them in versus that we have lost that much population. And I know there's the whole other part with the lawsuit and who they're counting in other states, and they won't ask a citizenship question on the census. But you're saying, I mean, part of it's just on us here in Alabama. We're not 72%.
72% response rate.
I always thought it was the law that you had to turn in your census.
Well, you know, they won't respond, they won't turn them in, so we're undercounted, and it hurts us financially and it hurts us politically in Washington.
All right, so if the process, God forbid, I mean, but you're saying you feel like, barring any unforeseen information, this is going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, but let me caution you. The state's doing as much as they can right now to convince people to answer the census, because it's vitally important to local governments and state government, and it's vitally important to our representation in Washington.
Big time. That's what scares me. That's why I've been on this for so long, that this is a big deal. But if it does happen, then we go from 7 to 6, then how do you draw the new districts? I mean, what happens?
It's extremely complicated. Basically, we have about 680,000 people in the 1st Congressional District now. We'll have to gain about 124,000 new people into the 1st Congressional District, which, you know, if you look at the district, you can't go to Pensacola and get them, and you can't go to Mississippi and get them, so you've got to start going north towards Montgomery. Or there have been proposals for years to send us all the way to Dothan. The 1st District will stretch from Mobile, Baldwin, Escambia, Covington, Geneva, all the way over to Houston counties.
Oh, like so
the congressman would spend most of his time driving in Florida.
Kind of describe, but people like us will understand this. You're describing the South Zone for dove hunting. Will be AL1, along with some Washington and Clark and all that, but you also get the South Zone for dove season. Yeah. So that happens, then how do the other, how does two change and three, and does who, does five end up becoming big? How does that work?
It's going to be interesting, and that's the reason why I think I'm so uniquely qualified to be the next congressman from the 1st District, because I am intimately involved in this whole process. I still have an entire year left in the legislature to work on it. But when I go to Washington in 2021, when they start drawing the congressional districts in 2021 for the 2022 election, I will be able to build that bridge between the congressional delegation in Washington and the legislature in Montgomery, because I understand the process by being so involved in it. And I will work tirelessly to ensure that our issues are protected here in Southwest Alabama.
All right, we're coming back more with Chris Pringle. He will be one of the candidates Thursday night debating at the J.C. Davis Auditorium. By the way, debate coverage goes from, we're actually going to start our pregame. Somebody's asking, we've got a pregame, just like football, from 5:30 to 6, debate in earnest from 6 to 7:30, and then we've got a postgame show, too, from 7:30 to 8, and we're going to be covered from 5:30 to 8 o'clock here at FM Talk 106.5. Plus, we'll be on WKRG-TV starting at 6 on Thursday night. More on that when we get back. Y'all stay close.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile, and continue our Get to Know the Candidate segment. Candidate for AL1 and representative for District 101. So he's in 101, but running for AL1, state and federal. You know his name, Chris Pringle, our guest. And really, interesting discussion and scary. First of all, you scared the socks out of me. Now I think I understand more of our issues here on this losing a district. Only 72% of people returning their census.
Exactly. That's the problem.
Y'all get on the phone and call your relatives and let them know to fill out the census. This is something that's important for all of us. And you tied this together during the news break, because I was talking about federal programs and I was talking about the I-10 Mobile River Bridge project and others. That, if we're looking for federal money, it's based on
population, based on the census.
When you don't turn in your census card, you're shorting federal money coming back into Alabama.
Exactly. You're reducing the amount of money we're eligible to draw down, not only on every government program, but also on infrastructure dollars, because we don't have the population, because it's undercounted.
And you say, you're in a position here with being looking at this through the state lens for the redistricting. But if you are elected and you're in Washington, you can be a liaison between the two.
Particularly on redistricting, like I said, I've been so intimately involved in it that I'm the person that can build that bridge between the congressional delegation in Washington and the legislature in Montgomery to ensure that we get districts that are drawn that protect Southwest Alabama in particular. But we have zero deviation in congressional districts. Each district has to have the same exact number of people in it as the next one. There's zero deviation in congressional.
Of course, we can't figure that out because we don't have the census data being turned in.
And it's all it's all based on the census data. You know, we have demographers that sit there and draw it all. But
wow. Let's talk about some of the issues for AL1 and in Washington, and some for the entire nation. Because in the job of the House of Representatives, yes, you're there to ensure the health of the nation, but also, I mean, back home, your constituents, that's us. That's what your task number one. I mean, how do you balance that? I mean, there's sometimes we see things where a federal issue, you can see it from a federal angle, but you go, you know, back home, man, that's that may not play.
Well, that's true. But I mean, my top three issues when I go to Washington will be the local economy, infrastructure, and health care.
Okay.
Let me circle back around and I'll tell you what I mean by that. On the local economy, it's vital that Austell USA is protected. Not only does it provide jobs here in Southwest Alabama, but those ships play a vital role in defense of our nation all over the world. Airbus is growing and prospering, and we need the opportunities that await us with the growth of Airbus for our children and our grandchildren for great high-paying jobs are just unbelievable. You know, I serve on the Gulf States Marine Fisheries Commission, mm-hmm. so I understand how important the Gulf of Mexico is and all of our marine fisheries, and I want to see us regulate the marine fisheries here at the local level. I think we can do a much better job here than some bean counter in Washington can. As far as infrastructure, you know, we talked about the bridge.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about I will work day and night to get the federal funds to build a bridge across the river. We have done what we needed to do in order to deepen and widen our ship channel.
Mm-hmm.
Those Panex ships are coming to Mobile. When those ships come, our port could very well become the sixth largest port in the nation. But when that Panex ship gets here and they start unloading thousands and thousands of containers, they have to dissipate off into the country, and we need the infrastructure.
Some of them got to go east.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. You know, they've got to move, and right now they tell me that if an 18-wheeler passes through Mobile, they automatically add $150 to the freight cost because of that tunnel. If they're passing east or west, you know, they won't add
the companies do when they're
just
assessing.
Because there's so many backups on the bayway and the tunnel.
Federal money, is it there? Is it there for a project?
The Democrats won't, Nancy Pelosi won't let the president's infrastructure bill up for a vote. I mean, you remember I went to her office and tried to meet with her to ask her why she won't bring up the infrastructure bill. It's important. We have to have that five-year infrastructure bill passed so we can have the money to allocate for these important road projects and infrastructure projects.
You know, that's been a place in the past that Republicans and Democrats have come together sometimes. Infrastructure, that's one of those few areas that...
It should be bipartisan. I mean, it's so important to the economic well-being of this country, but I don't see where the Democrat-led House is interested in doing anything but trying to impeach the president.
Yeah.
You know, they've not passed any of the 13 appropriation bills. They've not passed the infrastructure bill. They've issued more subpoenas than they have introduced bills in the House.
Seems like it's going the wrong way of the people's work.
It doesn't seem to be interested. And that's the reason why I want to go to Washington and fight for Southwest Alabama and stand up and say, no, we need infrastructure. We need a budget. You know, we can get on a balanced budget, but we at least need to pass a budget. The 13 appropriation bills that compromise our budget haven't been passed. They just going for continuing resolution.
Yeah, we're in a new CR right now, yeah. I think.
But I want to see us move our airport downtown. I think with the growth that's occurring in Mobile right now, that to relocate that airport to downtown Mobile and have it access to the interstate system will go a long ways to getting us the quality air service that we so desperately need. And I want to touch on health care.
Yeah, what about health care?
It's probably the biggest issue facing not only families but businesses, and it's the cost of health care. And I watched my mother when my father was diagnosed with dementia and had to be put in a nursing home. And I watched the economic uncertainty she was faced with on how she was going to provide the kind of care she wanted to for her husband. And as you remember, about a year and a half ago, I was diagnosed with cancer.
Right.
And, you know, and I was suddenly faced with a major health crisis. Luckily, I'm clean. I had my left kidney removed. I'm like Sonny Callahan. I only have one kidney.
Mm-hmm.
But at that moment, I was faced with the economic uncertainty of how I was going to deal with a major health issue. And we have got to find a way to address the health care costs in this country. And I believe in a market-based solution. Well, it's far better than this liberal government solution that the Democrats are coming up with. I've never seen the government solve a problem, but I think the market can help solve this problem.
What would you, and we just have a minute here before we wrap, but is that across state lines kind of stuff? Is that opening up?
I think everything needs to be on the table. I really do. It needs to be a market-based solution. The government interfering in it, will make the problem worse.
So you think if we back off where we are now with this, because we're in this nowhere land between what liberals want with a single payer, and the old plan, do you think there's a market-based plan that works better than what we were dealing with before Obamacare?
There's got to be, and I'll get into the veterans. I watch, you know, my grandfather was a vet, my father was a vet, he was at William Green, mm-hmm. he was in a nursing home, my father-in-law was a vet. I mean, I've watched these veterans struggle to get the benefits they deserve and the health care they deserve because they are locked into a government program. And I would like to see us not only, you know, market-based or system of health care, but I'd like to see us take care of these veterans. They stood watch over our freedoms. They were promised these benefits. They deserve those benefits, and I want to see them get the benefits that we promised these men. And, the government program they're under, they have to wait for months just to get in to see a doctor, and it's wrong. That's what I see a single-payer system going to.
All right. More information about Chris Pringle. Where do they go?
PringleForCongress.com. It's very simple.
All right, very good. And we'll see you on Thursday night.
Great. Looking forward to it. Thank you so much.
As we are as well. All right, coming right back. More of Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5. And if you didn't catch it earlier, no annexation for those three communities. We'll get into that.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 135 FM Talk, 106.5, and Midday Mobile on this Tuesday. And, so we're working on things, getting everything squared away and ready for Thursday night for the AL1 congressional debate for the Republicans. Once again, that's at the J.C. Davis Auditorium. We have given you the link to the Eventbrite page. Now, it's ticket doesn't cost you anything, but the folks at the J.C. Davis Auditorium are like, hey, Sean, we're getting a lot of calls here. We got to find a way to know how many chairs to have. That's a fair thing. Sorry about that. That's a fair thing. So they've set up this Eventbrite page where you go click and it just gets your ticket so they know how many people to expect. You can get that link. You can go to the Mobile County Republican Party. I think they've got it up, which, by the way, big thank you to Adam Bourne and the whole crew with the Mobile County Republican Party for helping us put this on. Really, they are the people behind this. Thank you. But number two, you can go to our Facebook page. You can go to fmtalk1065.com and get the link. If you go look at three big things, top news stories of the day, number one news story about that debate, and at the bottom of that story, there's the hyperlink there. You can get it through the Twitter feed, Facebook, and the website. And be frank with you, if you don't do social media, I get it. Just send us a text. Send us a text to 343-0106, and we can send you the link back right there. Or if you go, if you want it by email, just send me, say, hey, I'm looking for the link. You can send it to Sean, S-E-A-N, at fmtalk1065.com. So Sean, the fast way, spell it the fast way, S-E-A-N, at fmtalk1065.com. And I will send you the link back, or Dalton, D-A-L-T-O-N, at fmtalk1065.com. We'll get you that link for the Eventbrite page. So it doesn't cost you anything for the ticket. They're just trying to have an idea of how many people are coming. So that's if you're coming in person. It starts at 6. I would say get there 5:15 or 5:30 so you can come in and get a seat, because we're going to start the debate promptly at 6 o'clock. My co-moderator, Peter Albrecht from News 5, and I will get started right after 6 o'clock. And the debate will go on until 7:30, and we'll have a post-game show from our post-debate show. Well, it's like football talk from 7:30 to 8. So we'll crank up with a pre-debate show at 5:30. On Thursday, that'll go till 6, live debate from 6 to 7:30, and a wrap-up show from 7:30 to 8. That's all going to be on fmtalk1065.com, and WKRG is going to go live from 6 to 7 with the debate. So hopefully you can be there in person. If not, you can check us out online. All right, let's run through a lot of text here, but I want to get your calls as well. A couple things up. Plus, Dalton, I'm going to look for an update on Swalwell, because I think there's more to that story. I think there may be a cover-up going on in that. this text here from Matt. Matt said, I'm glad the annexation vote failed, but not for the reservations of most counselors opposing it. The gerrymandering that took place is just blatantly obvious from the maps that were presented. It reeks of that and the city trying to take in most or all of the major businesses in those outlying areas without taking a large portion of the residents in. All right, Matt. What I've been told, and you go back through the map, there's a lot of neighborhoods coming in with the retail, and Matt, you're accurate. Absolutely, there's retail. But one of the things that left those neighborhoods out, and I'm just going to say it, this stuff makes me roll my eyes, but that's what it boiled down to today with Mobile City Council. So I'll just say it. There were neighborhoods that were left out of this proposed annexation because there are too many white folks in it, because that would change the demographics from a minority-majority city to flip it to white majority. That's why those neighborhoods were left out. Somebody said earlier this morning on the text line, I thought it was well said, that the actual annexation proposes annexing in property and geography, not human beings. The human beings can change all the time in those homes. It's actually property. But you didn't hear that discussed at all. It's all about the people coming in. All right. Let's see. Donald said, C.J. Small is my commissioner. He doesn't like the vote that CJ took. Listen, this texture says, and I'm going to read this because, I usually this stuff is the last thing because I hope for better for our city. But I'm just going to read these because this is kind of what I think went on to some degree today. This texture says, let's call it what it is. The black members of the council wanted to show their power and keep it the way it is. They do not care about Mobile. They don't even care about their neighborhoods. Go drive through some of them. They're a disgrace. Why are they so caught up in the 1960s? It's a shame. The worst part is no one from outside their district can vote to keep them out of office. Let me go back to that, too. Nothing with an annexation into this. And once again, the city council was just voting for the right of the people to vote. They could have voted no. Okay. They weren't voting to bring them in. They were voting to give them the right. Nothing would change council district. Nothing about this. Those people would come in. They were coming into best richest district. And then the city council itself could agree on if they wanted to redistrict and reapportion at a city level, just like we were talking about with Chris Pringle a second ago on a state level and then a national level. They could redraw the districts if they wanted to in the council, but nothing bringing those people in wasn't going to affect Councilman Richardson, Councilman Manzi, Councilman Small's district. It just wasn't. Supermom says it just seems like anything the mayor proposes, certain council members are going to oppose. Shouldn't be that way. That's true. I really wish it would change as well. John says, why couldn't the city get with someone with money to buy vacant land next to the city limits, declare it part of the city, and invite developers to develop it? I don't know. Derek, there's good. Derek says the only thing that can save Mobile is riverboat gambling. All right, there's that. So I appreciate it. And we're kind of running through your text here. Fred, that's a problem. Fred says, what census? I have never received a census form to fill out. I live in 8 Mile near Sims. Okay, so federal officials here listening. Here is our listener, Fred, who says he's never received a census form to fill out. Fred, seriously, never in your life have you received the form, or the folks never knocked at your door? You've never... I mean, Fred, I'm serious. This is not rhetorical. Can you let me know on the text line? You've never received a census form? That's not good. That's not good at all. And once again, you heard Representative Pringle say 72% response rate. So we're messing ourselves up. We're messing ourselves up. 72% response rate. So it won't just be the fault, as the lawsuit says, of no citizenship question on the census and numbers going to Texas and California and elsewhere. It's partially our fault, 28% our fault of not filling it out. That's a shame. That's a real shame. All right. Also, I want to get the update here. I was listening right before we started Midday Mobile because I was watching a little bit of the impeachment TV. Eric Swalwell, Representative Swalwell, was there. He was asking some questions. I had the volume up, listening if there was going to be any extra sound. I'd put this up this morning on my Twitter feed. I, along with a couple other million, had wondered, did he pass gas yesterday? Now, let me just say, did he, and because the kids aren't in the car yet or whatever, did Swalwell fart?
It's a good question.
During his interview with Chris Matthews. So he was on there. People have gone back and slowed down the video. I think the reason I'm visiting this story is I think there's a attempt to place blame maybe where blame doesn't belong. I would argue that the, you could argue the smeller's the feller.
You could. That's a popular argument.
You could do that. That has some precedents. You know, there's some legal precedents in the smeller's the feller. But are we sure that that was a mic? Like I said, it depends on the kind of mic. But for that fart to be as loud as it was on that video that maybe you've seen by now online of Eric Swalwell, the mic would have to be down on his backside. Could that have been, because when you're doing an interview, like Dalton and I both have open mics right now. Both of our mics are open, right? We could have a mic in another room that's open, and we could be talking, somebody be waiting their turn to talk, and if they pass gas,
yes,
it would come across that mic.
It would. There's a
so,
lot of,
so could it be Chris Matthews?
That's very possible, and actually that's a theory that has been floated out there by a lot of different people at this point. You know, a ton of people online trying to get to the bottom of this situation.
Well, in this case, I want to be a truther. I want to get to the truth here.
So, you know, Swalwell was on Hardball with Chris Matthews. That's when the sound heard around the world happened last night. And it didn't, I don't think anyone actually knew it when it happened, except for the few people that watch Hardball with Chris Matthews. So once it was released out onto the internet, that's when everyone else found out about this.
You may roll the audio.
I think just so everyone will know exactly what we're talking about.
Because we may be just talking to ourselves on this. So let me roll this. This is, like Dalton just said, last night on Hardball, you've got Chris Matthews, Representative Swalwell. They're talking, and it went...
Yeah, and they were talking about the impeachment hearings, like you hear every single night on Chris Matthews. So he asked Swalwell a question about the impeachment. Swalwell began to answer, and that's what we got this clip from.
All right, so let's go to this. Let's go to the audio. Here it is, and you make the call. Here we go.
The evidence is uncontradicted that the president used taxpayer dollars to ask the Ukrainians to help him cheat an election. And the complaint that I've heard from the evidence is uncontradicted
Run that
the president used taxpayer dollars to ask the Ukrainians to help him cheat an election.
Now, that is like a whoopee cushion. Okay, if the mic, and I don't see a lav mic, and I kind of got nerdy on Twitter earlier, but I don't see a mic on his collar. But usually, like when I go do a TV thing, they have this little small mic they clip onto your shirt right by your collar.
And a really good producer or whoever there is on the scene, you know, helping set up the politician for the interview, a good one of those will hide the lav mic really well, so you don't even know it's there.
Yeah, tucked under, and maybe this is hidden better.
But
you watch
are,
me, mine's hanging out like a piece of spaghetti with like on my shirt.
But there's also boom mics, and I don't know how often those are used for interviews like this, but is it possible that they had an overhead boom mic, and that's when Swalwell, I mean, he clearly kind of takes a break between those two words. And
okay, could he be taking a break? Just a theory. Theory I'd like to roll out here. Could Swalwell, with his, and it's called an IFB, but there's if you're doing this interview, you have a little tiny headphone, like looks like a hearing aid in your ear when you're doing TV, that you can hear the other person in the other studio, or you can hear them talk back to you from the production booth or whatever. It's your way of hearing conversations that aren't in the room with you. Could he have heard the noise from Chris Matthews, and that's what he paused. Let's go back once again here.
Yeah.
Okay, let's listen here.
The evidence is uncontradicted that the president used taxpayer dollars to ask the Ukrainians to help him cheat an election. And the complaint that I've heard...
You know what? I may turn around because it sounds like he paused before the sound.
Yeah.
So.
And if that's the case, that it was, you know, he was wearing the earpiece, he heard Chris Matthews, I'm surprised it didn't get blown out of his ear at that point. Because that was pretty loud. That was very audible. You know, he was asked by a BuzzFeed reporter. Of all the media outlets, BuzzFeed did a deep dive investigation into this, and one of the BuzzFeed reporters texted Swalwell last night, said, "I'm really sorry about this, but I have to ask if this was you or someone in the studio." Swalwell said, "It was not me, ha, and I didn't hear it when I was speaking." She said, "You look like you heard it and are stifling a laugh." He said, "I definitely did not hear it." And then this morning, he tweets, "This too shall pass." Now, there was more than one side to this, so someone needed to ask Chris Matthews. And for the longest time, Chris Matthews and the entire MSNBC crew, they stayed silent on this, you know, very important topic.
Yes.
They did eventually tweet last night saying, "Sorry to break the bad news," or something along those lines. They claim that it was an MSNBC Hardball coffee mug, you know, that they would give a guest on set, that it was a coffee mug scooting across the desk.
Okay, wait a second. So this is, but Swalwell did have a coffee mug. They're saying this was like back at the studio.
That it was on the mic in the studio, and they conveniently linked a link to their store where you can buy your very own, I guess, you know, hardball coffee mug that makes its own noise sometimes.
Okay, so we have, sitting here in the studio, FM Talk 106.5 coffee mug.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Looks legit.
From our buddy Mike at Swagville, right? I'm going to do this. So should I, Mike? Let's do this. We're going to put it, we're going to use mic number three in here.
Yes.
I'm going to hand you the mug.
Okay.
I'm going to open up this mic when you're ready.
I'll turn this mic on. I'm ready now.
Okay, so what we're going for here is they're saying the sound we heard,
mm-hmm.
Let's go back, we'll play this sound one more time. They're saying that this is what's coming from the folks at MSNBC, right? They're saying that when we heard this...
uncontradicted that the president used taxpayer dollars to ask the Ukrainians to help him cheat an election.
Okay, okay. So that noise right there, let's do it.
Let's give it a Mythbusters run. Nah. And I don't know what kind of tabletops they have there, but...
Unless the tabletops were corduroy. slide it again.
One more time.
And then
taxpayer dollars to ask the Ukrainians to help them cheat an election. And the complaint that I've heard,
I don't think it's a coffee mug.
Yeah, and two more quick, explanations for this. S.E. Cup, who she's worked for, you know, several organizations. She said, "I hate to let the air out of these theories, but the inimitable laws of physics clearly point to Chris as the culprit. For one, Swalwell's mic wouldn't likely have picked it up
right
in the noisy
live shot location. Right.
Second, the sound conveniently manifests when it goes to a one shot where Chris is off camera to let it rip without anyone seeing. Finally, it was likely, this is my favorite tweet, acoustically amplified after bouncing off the back of Matthew's chair. Unless you're telling me that thing bounced through the echoey Capitol building into Swalwell's lav mic through control to the main audio, then that is one magic fart."
So there you go. That's the latest in Fartgate.
That's it
going on right now.
I don't know if it's an open shut case.
I don't think it is. I don't think we're done yet. I think we need to impanel a commission.
Yep.
To look into this, to depose witnesses,
cross examination,
big time, big time. I think there's a cover up going on here, and this is one of those cover ups that I can't let it go. You know, I mean, and you can't just go back to the defense of Smellers the Feller.
No, you can go to the he who denied it supply.
Evidence is uncontradicted that the president used taxpayer dollars to ask the Ukrainians to help him cheat an election. And the complaint that I've heard from the evidence is uncontradicted that the president used taxpayer dollars to ask the Ukrainians to help him cheat an election.
Right. We'll be right back. Maybe. I don't know. We may lose our jobs here if we go to break. This is Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5.
Whiskey bottles and brand new cars. Oak tree, you're in my way. There's too much coke and too much smoke. Look what's going on inside you.
Is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 156 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Right, we made it back. Coming up next, Fine Bomb Show. I desperately want to read through some of y'all's text. And there's a mix here of a text about the, if y'all didn't catch it earlier, there you go, Mobile City Council. While the majority of members of the city council voted to let the 13,000 people in those three neighborhoods get the right to vote, right? The majority of the city council voted. It wasn't a super majority when LaVon Mansi sided with Fred Richardson and C.J. Small, and so therefore they won't get the right to vote. Once again, this is just a kind of a long-term discussion for us is, are we, and I'd like to get somebody pro and somebody con, you know how I do. I'd like to get somebody pro and con. Now, I understand why the supermajority was set up way back when, but it's 2019 now. Is a supermajority a benefit to the city of Mobile? Does a supermajority make the city of Mobile better, supermajority voting or not? like to get that. But the other part of this is, as we're kind of going through what has become, you know what? Other people are saying it, so I'll say it to you, the Fartgate over Swalwell and that audio. Is it Chris Matthews? Is it Swalwell? There's a lot of people, thank you, Dan and others, that agree after we did our Mythbusters in here, sliding a coffee mug over the table here in our studio. That sound we heard there was not a coffee mug, unless it was going over corrugated metal or something. It was not a coffee mug. Somebody, I think, Dalton, I tell you, I really, even though you can look at the video and Swalwell pauses and all that, but it sure seems like it's, gosh, it seems like it's Chris Matthews to me. It sure seems like it's Chris Matthews back in the studio. He thinks the mics are off. He's got the resonant chair there he's sitting in. And
I'll leave you with this. One Twitter user posted a thread, and apparently he's been following Chris Matthews' illustrious career for a while now. But this, if it were Chris Matthews, it's not the first time this has happened on Hardball. He has five or six other instances.
I told y'all, there's a mega mix of them.
With other guests where this noise and louder can be heard while his guests talk.
Now, you can argue repeat offender status for Chris Matthews. Now, of course, you are also not guilty of your past crimes. But I think there needs to be, I just have a feeling there's a cover-up going on here, and we should, I would say, dig to the bottom of this, but I don't want to say that. All right, Feinbaum's all the way next.